I'm Jess Spenlove, a performance dietitian, coach, and speaker, and welcome to Stay at the Top, the podcast for ambitious high performers wanting to easily go from exhausted to energized with evidence-based hacks designed to deliver sustained success and enhanced longevity. I want you to harness the power of nutrition, sleep, mindset, and other high-performing behaviors to achieve your big goals now, while also considering future you as well. Now, let's get into today's episode. Team, today I want to talk about what each and every single one of you can do to sleep better. Now, this episode is really for anyone and everyone. It's definitely for those people who identify with the I want and need to sleep better. It's for the people who are feeling fatigued, that their energy levels are not optimal. But I guarantee there's also something in here for the people who think that they're currently sleeping well. Now, the reason I say that is because with all of the elite athletes, leaders, business owners, high-level, high-performing individuals that I work with, when I initially start, I survey them on a whole range of well-being and performance metrics. It's not just about food, it's about their entire lifestyle. And you can guarantee I ask them about their sleep, how they feel once they've slept, how they wake up feeling, and we dive deep. Now, often a lot of those people report that they think that they sleep well. But the interesting thing is throughout our journey of working together, or at the end of our coaching program, 9 times out of 10, they're reporting to me that they're currently sleeping better than what they were. So this is why I know that there's something in this episode for every single one of you. Now, before we dive into today's episode, the reality is that your daily habits and your behaviors can either set you up for sustained success or have you walking the tightrope between peak performance and burnout. Over my 14 years working with thousands of high-performing humans, I've identified 3 key archetypes. They are the overachiever, the all-or-nothing human, or the ticking time bomb. If you're curious to know which one you are and also what that means in terms of your right next step, then take the high-performance profile quiz, which you can find in my show notes. Now, on that note, let's get into today's episode. For me, in the work that I do with high-performing individuals and teams, I am noticing one common theme. They are experiencing an energy crisis. This is the number one thing that people are reporting to me. They either want more energy in general or they want more consistent energy. Now, I am here to tell you that this is a reality. When it comes to your day and being productive and optimizing your energy, while there is an element of being efficient with your time and being mindful about what you say yes to and what you give your energy to, also looking at ways to maximize your productivity, hacks and so forth, you know, utilizing the Pomodoro technique or eating the frog / doing the most important task of the day first, that all has merit. But the reality is, if you are not optimizing the non-negotiable behaviors that you have to do every single day, such as your sleep and your nutrition, you are not setting yourself up for success and you're not reaching your full potential. So with that in mind, I wanted to dive deep today on how we can sleep better, as optimizing this main lever has such a powerful influence on your overall energy levels now and your health and your performance outcome for years to come. Now, what this episode is not is another message just to sleep more, which I know some people are sick of. We've all heard that we all need to get 7 to 9 hours a night. And for a lot of us, that may not be possible. So I don't want to sit here preaching that. What I want to present to you today are the strategies and the things that you need to know that each of you can start putting into practice no matter what your life looks like, so it can make a difference to your sleep. Before we dive into the strategies, I thought it was important to just give you a little bit of a rundown on the science of sleep and also the various sleep stages. This is also why it's not just a matter of sleeping more. If we can capture the data on the types of sleep and the time spent in the different stages of sleep, then I believe that is more meaningful. Now, sleep is broken down into four main sleep stages. I want to focus on three of them here today, which are the three main ones where we spend the majority of our time. The first one is really like a transition phase as we're transitioning from being awake to dropping down into either our light sleep, our deep sleep, or our REM sleep, which we're going to explore. So light sleep is where we spend about 50% of our total sleep time. In this cycle, our body temperature starts to drop, our muscles start to relax, our breathing and our heart rate slows down. And when they look at our brain waves, we start to see new patterns and our eye movement starts to stop. So everything is really just slowing down. The thing I need to call out here is what happens across the night is we toggle between these different stages. So we don't just go from one to the next and that's it. Typically, people have 4 to 6 sleep cycles per night. When it comes to light sleep, as I mentioned, we do spend about 50% of our sleep time there. And each phase of our light sleep typically lasts between about 10 to 25 minutes. Now, the next two stages I want to touch on are the really important, essential stages when we want to think about restoration and when we think about sleep as its main form of a macro recovery. So day to day, sleep is the number one factor in terms of how we recover physically, emotionally, and mentally. Now, the next stage I want to talk to you is what we call deep sleep, or it's also known as slow wave sleep. So this type of sleep is very restorative. It's where we have both cognitive and physical recovery going on, but predominantly this is largely responsible for the physical recovery that takes place. So this is where the body recovers, there's muscle growth and adaptation. This is where a lot of the recovery and the clearing of toxins from the connective tissues and the muscles and the buildup across the day occurs. Both this stage and also our REM sleep, which I'll talk about next, are really important for our immune response. And when we are not getting enough sleep time and also particularly enough deep and REM sleep, we are more susceptible to poor immunity. So that is something to really consider there. Our deep sleep makes up about 20 to 25% of total sleep in adults. And when it comes to optimizing this stage of sleep, it really starts at around 1.5 hours a night. So you might be thinking, Jess, this is all well and good, but how do we actually get this information? Waking up and just a bit of a pulse check on how I feel isn't necessarily giving me this, which I hear you, and that's where wearable technology comes into play. So there's a variety of options available, but when it comes to sleep, an Oura Ring is, in my opinion, the best one on the market. So there's the Oura Ring and the Whoop, which are really accessible and collect great information, much more accurate than what an Apple Watch would be. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of a Garmin and an Apple Watch and all of that. But when it comes to sleep and it comes to the accuracy of the data being collected, the Oura Ring and the Whoop are much more accurate. And in particular for sleep, the Oura Ring. So if you are to use something like that, that can start to capture that information. That's really the only way to collect that information other than going and having a sleep study, which is not necessarily accessible to everyone. It's done in a lab. So in terms of practicality and what you can use on the day-to-day, an Oura Ring is excellent. I personally have one. It's something that a lot of my coaching clients either have or it's something that I get them to invest in, because this is data that we want to have. And when we know from a behavioral point of view how they're sleeping, what stage of sleep they're in, what's optimized, what's not optimized, we can start to really target some specific strategies to optimize that. Now, the last stage of sleep I wanted to just quickly touch on is called our REM sleep. So this is where a lot of our cognitive processing occurs. This is our memory consolidation. This has a huge influence on our learning and our creativity. This is the most restorative and rejuvenating sleep stage. In our REM sleep, this is where our brain flushes out the toxins from the day. It is also the phase that is known for our vivid dreams. Now, it doesn't mean we only dream in our REM sleep. We can dream in any stage, but this is where it is most vivid. The interesting thing about our REM sleep, which is quite different to the other stages, is that our brain is very active. It's as active as it is while we are awake across the day. This is also that stage of sleep that's hallmarked by the eyes consistently moving. But in terms of our body, we are basically in a state of paralysis. We have no muscle tone. In terms of an adult would typically spend or should typically spend 15 to 20% of their total sleep in this stage. And ideally, we're looking at around 2 hours each night. So again, how do we know that information? It really only comes from wearable technology. Okay, so we've got a bit of an understanding. Yep, we've got sleep, we've got quantity, we've got quality. There's these sleep cycles that we toggle between across the night. You've touched on some of the different types and the hallmarks and what they're known for. We're getting a really clear picture on the importance of it. But what about the barriers? And before we get to the strategies, I want to paint a picture on the various behaviors, technology, foods or drinks that we consume that can be a barrier to optimizing the quality of our sleep. Now, the number one issue in terms of getting to sleep can be an inability to switch off our thoughts, which is why when we're going to get to the point of talking about sleep routine, this is going to be a really important step in helping you sleep better. Some of the other interferers or barriers is exposure to light, whether that is directly just from lights on in the house, whether that is from blue lights and screens, whether that is all the different forms of light. So blue light and screens and technology get a really bad rap for interfering with your sleep, which rightfully so, it can definitely inhibit our ability to get to sleep. And that has to do with when the light is hitting our eye, it is blocking the production of melatonin, which is the hormone that we produce as we start to go to sleep. It is our sleep hormone. But the thing is, which is really important to point out, it's not just blue light from technology that blocks the melatonin production. It is all light. So if you are at home and all the lights are on in the house late at night, that is potentially a factor that is going to inhibit or reduce your ability to get to sleep or your sleep architecture, which is those sleep cycles that I discussed. So food for thought there. Caffeine is another one. So the obvious options here when we talk about caffeine are coffee and how much you're consuming and when you last consumed your coffee. Now, the thing is, caffeine has a half-life of 8 hours. So if you're someone who is dipping in energy in the afternoon, reaching for a coffee and then struggling to get to sleep, that coffee that you've had at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon is still circulating around in your bloodstream at 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So having some boundaries on what caffeine you consume and when is very supportive of getting a better night's sleep. Now, for the people out there that are sleeping poorly, not getting enough sleep, exhausted, tired, I hear you. I know that you're reaching for the coffee for that energy boost. But what I want to let you know is that that is potentially perpetuating the cycle that you are in. This is why we want to learn how to leverage other strategies that are going to optimize our energy and support our sleep. Some of those are the consistency of our meals, the composition of our meals and the elements, and also knowing what our first non-negotiable behavior or domino is that we are going to push. Now, I've covered that off, a lot of those strategies in previous episodes, and I also think it's worth doing a dedicated episode on the relationship between nutrition and sleep because the two are so inextricably linked. But in terms of today's episode, I want to stay on track and make it a little bit more generic and just talking about total behaviors when it comes to sleep. But really something to be mindful of, and I'm going to put a pin in the nutrition and sleep and we'll deep dive on that in an episode soon. The next thing I want to talk about is the temperature of our room. So when we sleep, as I mentioned, our body temperature drops. So if the room is warm or perceived warm by the body, that may inhibit your ability to get to sleep. So one thing you can do is cool your room. So if you do have air conditioning, you can set it to 24 degrees and below. You don't have to sleep with it on, but if you have that capacity to cool the room down before going to sleep, that is very supportive of getting to sleep and better sleep and not waking up across the night. Some other considerations are alcohol, which I know can be counterproductive. Sometimes alcohol is used to relax, to wind down. It makes us feel drowsy. You may perceive that it helps you get to sleep. Now, while it may help you get to sleep, what alcohol, when we're consuming more than one standard drink, does is it interferes with our sleep architecture. So in particular, our REM sleep. Now, this is why we don't want to use alcohol as a way that we unwind and relax. Generally, we might be doing that because we might be stressed, and by poorly sleeping, that is placing greater stress on our body. So if we can find other practices, which I will be bringing up in the strategies on how to sleep very soon, that is much more supportive of a better night's sleep. The reality is, feeling better is about pulling the right levers and leveraging them to positively influence each other. It's like an energetic loop. Once we pull one, we then start to shift into the other. It's kind of like someone who might identify that they want to eat better and they want to move more. And if they could just get one of them working, that the other one seems to flow a lot easier. This is the momentum we're trying to push. Or as I like to refer to it, it's about finding that first domino that you can push that's going to push all the other dominoes in the positive direction. The thing with nutrition and sleep is they both have the capacity to positively support each other. And by sleeping better, you can eat better. And similarly, when you eat better, you can sleep better. But unfortunately, that bi-directional relationship also means that when we're sleeping poorly, it can influence and drive us and our desire to want to eat poorly. Now, whether that is eat more often because we're hungry, because we're awake more, increased desire to eat sugar because we're looking for that spike in blood sugar levels to keep our energy up, or an increased desire for caffeine to give us that energy boost that we're looking for. This is why understanding that, and when we dive into the relationship between the two, I will really give you some strategies that you can apply to positively leverage the relationship that both of them can have, rather than have the downward spiral effect, which I know a lot of people are experiencing. So if we keep some of those barriers in mind and maybe just have a little bit of a self-reflection piece on what might be impacting us, what can we then go and potentially control? So number one, the thing I want to flag is consistency. And if you've listened to other episodes I've done, the consistency piece will have come up a lot. And when it comes to sleep, this is definitely the case. What that means is looking to go to bed and wake up within 30 to 60 minutes of each other. When we do that, it is much more supportive of supporting our circadian rhythm, and we have less risk of experiencing what's called social jet lag. So that's when we're sleeping, going to bed at all different times, waking up at different times, and we can experience more drowsiness. We're not feeling as alert. We're feeling a little bit foggy. These are common things which you can experience if you've been on a long-haul flight and you've got jet lag. Similarly, if you've got poor sleep routines and sleeping at all different time points, you can experience similar symptoms. So that's one of the first things. Even if nothing else, can you try to standardize the time you go to bed within about 30 to 60 minutes? Now, an interesting piece on the consistency comment here is something called a sleep chronotype. So if you haven't heard what a sleep chronotype is, it is a combination of looking at both your circadian rhythm and your genetics. And it's about looking at when you go to bed, wake up, your most productive hours. Now, there are four different chronotypes. There are three which make up 90%, and that is the bear, the wolf, and the lion. And I'll talk you through each one. And those three chronotypes have a consistent hallmark in terms of wake time, sleep time. There is one called the dolphin, which makes up about 10% of the population. And these types of people can function more with a less consistent routine. But that is only 10% of the population. The other 90% are genetically wired to go to bed at the same time and wake up the same time and have set productive hours. So the lion, which is about 15% of the population, are the morning risers. They go to bed pretty early, about 9 o'clock. They wake up at 5 o'clock. They're more the seize the day type of people, and their productive time is between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. We then have the bear, which is the majority of the population. So these people go to bed a little bit later, probably more around 10:30, 11, and are waking up more around like that 6:30, 7, and their most productive hours are between 10 and 2. And then we have the wolf, or the night owl, which is someone who tends to go to bed later, say around midnight, and they wake up later around 8 or 9 a.m. And their productive hours are after lunch. So even in hearing that, I'm sure people can identify with where they think they are. And I think the really good thing about knowing that about yourself, whether you are a business owner, a business leader, whether you work in a big business, if you have the capacity to tailor your day to your most productive hours, whether that is a business owner who can set the tasks they do at the set times, or whether you're working in a large corporation and you've got the capacity to set the time you do your deep work and the time you take your meetings, it's really just about knowing yourself and really setting you up for success. But in saying all of that, if you're not maximizing your overall sleep and your sleep pattern is inconsistent, you are not going to be performing at your absolute best, which is what we are here to do today. Now, another tip to help you sleep better is actually within waking, get outside, go for a walk, do some movement, even just sit on your balcony and meditate and get some sunlight on your face within the first 30 minutes. That is really key to helping reset that circadian rhythm, which is really key to helping you sleep better. And if you recall, one of the barriers to getting to sleep is having too much light on your face to block the melatonin production at night, which we don't want. In the morning, the opposite is true. We actually, when we wake up, we want to block that melatonin production because we want to wake up, we want to block that sleep hormone, and we want to get out and get on with our day and have that circadian rhythm being regulated. Now, another really important strategy to sleep better is looking at the sleep hygiene piece. And this is about creating that supportive sleep environment. It's a dark, it's a quiet, it's a cool room. And in that room, it is for two things. It is for sleep and it is for romance. We want to remove all the electronics, the phones, the TVs. We want to minimize that. Watch TV in the lounge room. Don't do it in the bedroom. I know TV in bed is such a luxury, but if you are sleeping poorly, it is interfering with your ability to optimize your sleep. Now, some other things to consider are also how you eat at the later half of the day. And if you are eating a really large meal close to going to bed, you're snacking on all of the things, that is not supportive of optimizing your sleep. Now, if you're doing that, I also know you're doing that because you're not optimizing the front of your day, which is why often what is happening at the end of the day is a byproduct of what is or isn't happening at the start of the day. So if that is you, again, there are previous episodes that I really encourage you to go and listen to. So in the ideal world, we want to be having our main meal 2 to 3 hours before bed so we have enough time to digest. And then if we are needing a snack, we want to have a high protein snack, something like a glass of milk or some yogurt, maybe even some almonds. So all of those options there are really high in an amino acid called tryptophan, which is very supportive of producing serotonin, which is our relaxed hormone, which is also really important in terms of the sleep piece and also has a relationship in terms of producing melatonin. I spoke about lights and exposure to all the different types of lights. Even if we can start to dim the room, dim the house 1 to 2 hours before going to bed. If you've got dimmers, great. If you don't, you might need to go and invest in some lamps or some candles so you can dim the lights but still have a little bit of light. And the last thing I want to touch on is really encouraging you to investigate a sleep routine. I don't believe every single person needs a morning routine. Personally, I have one. I'm a lion chronotype. I'm one of those wake up in the morning, get ready to go, productive before lunch people. And a morning routine is really important to me. But I have a lot of high-performing clients who that doesn't work for them. What I personally think is more important than a morning routine is a night routine, a wind-down routine, a sleep routine. And that is because sleep is important to every single human being when it comes to optimizing your well-being and your performance. It definitely is a key driver to your energy levels across the day. Every human needs to sleep. The better we sleep, the better we feel, the better we perform. So how can we optimize that? We can do that with a sleep routine. So the consistency or the makeup of that sleep routine can be different for everyone. And what I actually encourage people to do is not have a set and forget routine. They have strategies and tools within their toolkit that they can call on and use at different time points. So these might be things like having a hot shower, having a herbal tea, cooling your room, journaling, getting those thoughts out of your head, having a magnesium drink, or using other supplements that can be supportive of a better night's sleep, such as a tart cherry, apigenin, which is the extract from chamomile tea, or L-theanine. Reading a book as well can be really helpful, a hard copy book. We don't want it to be inspirational or educational. It should be story time, very relaxing. And something else which could be really helpful is meditation or breath work. Now, what I am not saying is all of those things. What I am saying is encouraging you to start playing around with one or two or three of those things and start to create your own sleep routine. The thing is, you're probably doing some of those things some nights, maybe most nights, but it's maybe just not in a consistent rhythm. So I had a conversation yesterday with a high-level elite athlete, and we even just spoke about, can you watch TV in the lounge room, turn it off, go and have a hot shower, journal, and do some breath work? You're doing all of those things, but let's just create that sequence so your brain starts to know, okay, we're getting ready to go to bed, and you can call on that. Additionally, if you are then having struggle sleeping, he's in a really high training block at the moment and it's overstimulating him, and he's finding that his sleep latency, which is his ability to get to sleep, is being impacted. In that instance, we may need to call on a few extra strategies. Maybe we need to investigate some supplements, which I definitely guide him on that. And maybe we need to look at some extra relaxation or breath work. So if you are interested in looking at some of the supplements, I have two brands that I really recommend. They're very high quality. One is an Australian company, Pillar Performance, and another is an American company, Momentous. I will link both of those in my show notes and also include my special discount codes, which I have for both of them. If you'd like some more personalized support on that, though, please check out my one-on-one strategy sessions or coaching. It's definitely something we can explore further there. So in saying all of that, I really encourage each of you to start to think about which of those strategies or behaviors are things that you're currently doing that you could just start to get a little bit more strategic and intentional with. For me, it's really about having a toolkit of strategies that you can call on and use to leverage the power of sleep. And when you start to sleep better, you really do start to benefit in every single area of your life, both now and definitely for future you as well. So the action I want you to take from today's episode is to consider one thing you believe disrupts your sleep that you have control over. With that, I want you to think about what you can start to improve and what can start to become a non-negotiable for you. Every single person listening to this may choose a different thing, and that's great. My work here is done. I am not here to tell everyone that they need to have the same sleep routine that doesn't work for them. What I am here to do is give you tools that you can lean into what speaks to you. Remember, this is all about the path of least resistance. And the last thing I would absolutely love to know, shoot me a DM, whether Instagram or LinkedIn, and let me know what you're going to start putting into place to improve your sleep. Also, if anyone here is a fan of wearable technology, let me know. And if you aren't, but you're considering purchasing something, feel free to reach out. It's something I love to talk about. I think the more data we can get, providing it works for us and it's supportive, it's not about becoming obsessive and becoming robots, but it is about enhancing our awareness and optimizing our behaviors. On that note, thank you for joining me today. If you're keen on some more personalized support to elevate your sleep or your nutrition or your overall well-being and performance now and for future you, you can visit my website to see the offers that I have. Alternatively, if you're interested in having me speak to your team or business on today's topic or anything else, I have a range of keynotes and workshops available as well, which you can find in my show notes. Otherwise, I'll be back again for a new episode helping high performers not only get to the top, but stay there. See you all next week. Team, thank you for tuning in to another episode filled with actionable insights to not only help you reach the top, but to sustainably stay there. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to let people know by sharing the episode around and rating and reviewing the podcast on the platform that you listen to. Your support truly makes a difference. Until next time, keep staying at the top.